AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
In the human field, they're doing this just now, is create anti-microRNAs and use it as a treatment to drive down that level of microRNAs. So this whole new therapeutic class is just open.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to AgBioScience from the Animal Health, Nutrition, and Technology Innovation Conference in Boston. Early identification of diseases in animals, critical to the future of the food system, to national security, and our ability to care for pets. One emerging tech company is harnessing the power of biology to accelerate identification, and their CEO is with us now. Welcome, Dr. Eve Hanks, founder and CEO of MyNRA Diagnostics. Eve, I am elated you're with us. Welcome to AgBioScience.
Thank you, Mitch. It's great to be here.
Eve, you have built a powerful biomarker platform, relies on microNRA called MyNRA. What is this microNRA, a new field, and why is it critical to enabling this future of animal health?
So I really hope that there are listeners listening to this podcast who have never yet heard of microRNA, because it's just such a privilege to introduce this powerful little molecule. So basically, microRNAs were discovered around about 30 years ago, and they weren't initially understood. They were discovered in a type of worm, a non-parasitic worm, and there wasn't a great understanding behind why they existed other than they helped a worm move through its development stages. So that was where this started. But then after a while, some genius in the field decided to look to see if microRNAs existed elsewhere. So they actually exist in plants, viruses, bacteria, every mammal that has ever been tested. And I think then, obviously, that's that eureka moment where right. people realize that microRNAs are really important. So now, when I was doing my PhD, I was introduced to microRNAs, and it became super clear that they are project managing us as systems. So they're like project managers of our immune system, for example. So therefore, if we're looking to improve disease diagnosis and improve early disease diagnosis, it'd be good to go to source and see right. what's manipulating that, you know, and see how our response changes. But they're actually more interesting than that, because we were just saying there that they're in bacteria and viruses, fungus. So therefore, we have a constant discussion, I suppose, in our bodies between microbes that we host, let's say on our skin or in our intestines, and our own microRNAs. So it's a really fascinating area of science just now. And I think we're scratching the surface, maybe a little deeper than that now, but the potential for how we can use microRNAs in the future is really huge.
I was blown away when I found this. The scale is just, it's incredible. U.S. National Institute of Health reports approximately 2,200 microRNA genes have been reported to exist in the mammalian genome, from which over only 1,000 belong to the human genome. I mean, it's incredible. Give us a sense, like, as you look at this from an animal health perspective, you said scratching the surface, maybe a little deeper. Give us a little more. Where are we in that evolution, and how are you putting that to work today in animal health?
So you've just touched on a really important area there, that there are a lot of genes that exist that can be manipulated by microRNAs, but for each gene, there are a lot of microRNAs that can manipulate that gene. And for each microRNA, it can act on several genes. So this is not a linear network. It's not a microRNA matches with a gene, because that would be really easy, and then I wouldn't have a job. So it's much more complex. Imagine it like a sort of 3-4D network sure. of different, you know, approaches that microRNAs can use to affect that epigenetic space. So what they basically do is act between genes transcribing proteins, or genes being on or off, you know, in a very simple way. However, there's over 50,000 microRNAs that we now know of. And like you say, we've got thousands of genes that they act on that we know of, but we're discovering them all the time. So I think we're getting into the groove that this is a project that is not going to be something, you know, as simple, and this is in massive inverted commas, as just the transcriptome genome of the gene, for example, it's going to be more in-depth, and microRNAs work in concert with each other. So, yeah, it becomes even more difficult to understand, because if you affect one gene and, you know, and you look at that in isolation, you don't get the picture. You have to understand how you're affecting all of the genes that are in play at any one time.
That multidimensional, multivariate, cascading effect.
Yes.
As you think about it, how have you seen that early stages of manifesting in animal health? You spun out of a university.
Yeah.
What was sort of that initial eureka, and then what have you seen post?
So I think there was a lot of people starting to work in microRNAs at the same time that I started to work in microRNAs. I didn't invent microRNAs, of course, but what we did was we had, I suppose, that eureka moment when we built a panel of microRNAs. So we realized that microRNAs are not lone wolves, and they're working as a family, not necessarily related to one gene, but a family that are affecting certain organs, certain systems. So when we started to gather every member of the family together and have a look to see who is upregulating, who is downregulating, who's not really taking part in this, then we started to realize that we were looking at what we call a fingerprint of disease. So as opposed to an elevation or deregulation, you get a fingerprint. And it's impossible really with the naked human eye to understand it. So we started to build learning algorithms so that we could model it. And then we thought, yeah, this makes sense. So what you can actually do with microRNAs is you can take a disease in its early, mid, late stage, and the fingerprint for that disease will be different at each stage because, of course, the pathology is different. So you can take your family of microRNAs that will be involved in this and map what they do, and that allows you not just to detect early disease, but depending on how those microRNAs are reacting to the stress, you can then start to predict what's going to happen. And that really, that tailored, like personalized medicine, that's where we hope to go. So we're not there yet, but it's certainly part of our journey.
Well, you've given us a thought, or give us some insight. Where are you today? Where are you in the commercialization? Where are you in the process of turning microRNA into a product that we could see in a feedlot or in a companion animal environment?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So what we are planning really to do is to keep our model as a reference lab model. So samples come into us in the lab. But because microRNAs are in all biofluids, so you find them in milk from dairy cows, urine from dogs, you can have them in saliva from pigs. So it makes that sample collection really easy. So we think the reference lab model works. And actually, we have tech that is diagnostic quality now.
Okay.
But the functionality of that as a predictive diagnostic is where we'd like to be. So we're not commercializing probably for about the next 12 to 18 months. We're working with our partner labs. It's really interesting because when you look over the fence to the human field, and this is one of these parts of science which makes me even more excited about it, where we lead on the animal health side rather than on the human health side, because we've recently discovered them. So when you look over the fields or look into the other field and the human side, what you find is that the prediction is starting to really take root there too. So there are certain microRNAs that will elevate in the year before a person dies of heart disease, for example.
Wow.
And there is, I suppose, a difficult one to think about, but there's a microRNA that elevates in the 24 hours before a person commits suicide. So you can see that taking this just in a medical perspective, we're looking at this as a diagnostic, but the potential for this as a, I suppose, a herd management tool on a feedlot or to be used as a precision medicine tool for pets is really high. And I think it would be remiss of us not to take that extra time
Absolutely.
To get the full functionality up before we go to market. So that's our plan.
Incredible. What does the future look like for microRNA? We'll dig into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Eve Hanks, founder and CEO of MyRNA Diagnostics. Eve, we talked earlier, your website, super helpful. One of the things that I found great, there's a video of you on the website, and you talk about Mars Petcare being a backer, and one of your first customers being Zoetis. Super helpful. Share more about, these are iconic leaders, iconic brands within animal health. What did they see? What did they see in you? What did they see in the technology that said, yes, this is the bet we want to make?
So I think that's a really good question. I'd have to ask them to find out exactly. But I think there are a couple of things that you can do with a sensitive early diagnostic. So the first is that you can get treatments through to market, for example. So if you are, and this is me surmising, but if you are a pet food company, for example, and you would like to create a pet food that's going to support dogs with heart disease, it's really good to have a diagnostic that's good enough, sensitive early enough, to show that food makes a difference. So those are the types of industrial partnerships that we talk about. Sometimes it's the diagnostic, but sometimes and more often, it's the use of that diagnostic to release things that are in the pipeline, you know, in terms of treatments or supplements. Or the other area that this works really well, of course, is to support those early indication products. So if you have a dog that you know has a collar that says they're itchier than normal, or they're walking less, or your cat is stretching more, or, you know, you get all sorts of data now. And when you think about that big data continuum of care, the biggest hole, the biggest black hole that we've got just now is that early indication drives pet owners to their vets, but they're too early for traditional diagnostics. So therefore you need something to plug that gap, if you like, to give that owner, that pet owner, the customer experience that they deserve, but also, of course, for early diagnosis in a pet, that significantly increases their likelihood of having a happy, healthy life. So I think that would be the main drivers. And also, we were the only company, I mean, we're still the only company doing this in a sort of commercial vein, but we were the only company anywhere near releasing that potential of the microRNAs. So I think from that point of view, it was really exciting, yeah.
It's incredible when you talk about this predictive capability, this early capability. I can't help but think of what we see in the news today, HiPath AI. We've heard ASF on the pork side. How do you envision a technology like yours at MyRNA creating a solution that we see as pervasive, as sort of the canary in the coal mine, or this early warning device, where it is critical to national security, critical to food security?
I think that if we're looking at viruses such as ASF, that probably isn't our homeland. So what we do better with microRNAs is we look at how the host is responding to an insult. So we can, of course, use it to diagnose something like a virus. That's absolutely perfect. But in terms of, I suppose, the most effective use of this, it's for endemic disease, because that's where there are no other diagnostics that can do this. So that's what we're targeting. So when we think about endemic disease in cattle, for example, we're thinking about things like tuberculosis, paratuberculosis, or Yoni's disease. Then what we can actually do is diagnose that, where, again, there's another black hole there. There is no way of diagnosing it, nothing that tells us about the early stages of those diseases. And then we can predict whether that cow, for example, is going to be clinical or not. And if that is a cow that can be diagnosed early and then predicted to be clinical, that's a production loss for the farmer. We can adjust for that. But then equally, what we can do, and one of the things that, when you mentioned food security, I think it's very important, is that we can build resilient herds. So if we understand how a host cow is reacting to something like paratuberculosis infection, then in reality, if she's reacting appropriately, she's likely to be resilient against that disease. So we can keep her in the herd. So it's almost the opposite of, at the moment, we test, and if there is signs of antibodies, we cull, you know, in terms terms of the veterinary industry, not me personally, but the veterinary industry. Whereas what we can do in the industry is move to test and preserve. So we're saying this is a good response, keep this cow. So predict and preserve is what we want to do. So I think the use for us, for microRNAs there, is more pressing than for, not that ASF is not a huge problem, but I think that there will be other people that can bring tech to that field.
Really incredible. And I think when you look at the broader perspective that we just did,
let's start with RNA. mRNA had a moment, had a chapter where it became headlines around the globe during the global pandemic. There's a connection between mRNA and microRNA. For those of us, me included, that aren't scientists, help us make the connection. And then has that been helpful to you as you've gone out and talked with investors where there, now there's some frame of reference for non-scientists?
Yeah, totally. And the other thing that's been helpful for us is the upturn in genetic testing too.
Sure.
So the whole nucleotide space has been useful for us. So I think now people understand you can take nucleotides and you can check for things like cancer, you can turn them into vaccines, you can use them as therapeutics. So I think nucleotides are up and coming area of science at the moment in terms of their interest. So that is useful. But microRNAs are also interesting because they kind of control that whole epigenetic space. So they can actually bind messenger RNA and break it down so that you have less protein production, for example. As well as, of course, when you genetically test, what you're seeing is there's a predisposition to this dog having heart disease. But microRNAs will decide whether that dog goes on to have heart disease or not. So I think to look in isolation at microRNAs is still exciting, but to look at it in combination with some of these new nucleotide tests, nucleotide treatments, and things like anti-microRNAs, because if you can identify that certain microRNAs advance a certain type of disease and that they are upregulated to do that, what you can actually do in the human field, they're doing this just now, is create anti-microRNAs and use it as a treatment to drive down that level of microRNAs. So this whole new therapeutic class has just opened. So I think RNAs, DNA, love anybody doing anything in that space just now. It really helps.
It is absolutely incredible. And Eve, I can't wait to continue our conversation, to watch as you continue to scale the company.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up, I have to ask you, we are here at the Animal Health Nutrition Technology Innovation Conference in Boston. It's still early. Any big takeaways so far?
So I think it's always good to be on the conference circuit when you're doing something new in terms of technology. I think for me, we're seeing certain fashions come and go, you know, recently.
Sure.
And I think at the moment, we're moving perhaps away from an area that's been well exposed to the industry recently, things like monoclonal antibodies, moving more into nucleotide space, which works really well with us, which is good. But also it's amazing to see how much interest there still is in pet food.
Right.
So I think we have to, as an industry, start to look more holistically, because what we tend to do in startup space and in industry, it's not a criticism, it makes sense, is we focus on monoclonal antibodies for OA, and then we focus on the microbiome for food, and then we focus on, we're working at the moment on some skin disease for microRNAs. But actually, the three of those fit together beautifully. So I would love, I think today, to find some other startup companies who are working in overlapping areas.
Sure.
That big Venn diagram.
Yes.
And just see what opportunities there are there to maybe repurpose and rethink some of our strategy around microRNAs for the next 2 or 3 years and how it fits in with the amazing ideas that some of these other startups are bringing through.
I love it. It's exhilarating. She is Dr. Eve Hanks, founder and CEO of MyNRA Diagnostics. Eve, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. You can get the latest Ag Bioscience news from agrinovusindiana.com. And as always, on behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.